This is RSBNB Update, episode 449, recorded January 24th, 2014. Play the beta! Hello, everybody, and welcome, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSBNB Update. Joining me this week is just our usual co-host.
Hey, guys, that's me.
So, interesting updates this week, and a little bit of looking forward to the future with what was announced just today, actually. So, let's just start off with the simple part, shall we?
Okay.
Social Slayer and the Slayer helmet update.
Yes.
You're happy about this?
Yes.
Okay. That's why.
I've been trying to get a partner for co-op Slayer, but I can never get a partner.
All right.
Because I can never get anyone to go with me, and if I get someone to go with me, we get bored. But now I need points, so I gotta do it.
Yeah, and you know, with the updating the rewards for Social Slayer, they actually did. I guess it would make it more worthwhile to actually do Slayer tasks socially. A couple of the things they did this week: unlock the ability to share teleports from the Ring of Slaying and Ferocious Rings, and of course from the upgraded Slayer helmets. Also, you can use the teleports, and then both of you guys will get teleported there. So that's the way that works. Also, sharing benefits of protective Slayer gear. So that would mean, for example, only one of you guys would need to fight to wear the nose peg if you're fighting Spectres.
Well, I think that one is more for lower level people, because mostly everybody who has a Slayer helmet has all of that in already. So it's, in a way, it's a little bit of a mute point.
Right. Very true. Very true. So also, you can use these points, the co-op points, to recharge Rings of Slaying, Ferocious Rings, or Fused Slayer Helmets. So let's say you don't get a new supply of Ferocious Rings, you can just recharge them with these. I don't know, I never really felt that to be much of an issue, because those Ferocious Rings are pretty common. At least I've found.
Yeah. Same with here. I always tend to get them inside the dungeon. Yeah. So I still have a whole bunch of them in there.
But also, there's a new Ganodermic Runt pet that you can use your points on. So I guess that is one of the main things you could go for if you're not interested in using the points on recharging these rings. Because I don't use the charges on my Slayer ring, because most of the tasks, they're very, very easy to get to without using those. So, I mean, it just kind of makes sense
honestly,
that they want people to buy the pet.
Can't remember how you make it, but I remember it being not very worthwhile unless you were slaying one particular type of monster, and that was very for low, like mid-level people.
Yeah, and that is the way it went, because most of the higher level stuff you get from, say, Curadel and what's the woman's name in that took over Duradel's spot?
I know, I've never been down there. Not since they
Lapa-la.
Not since they killed off the guy.
Yeah. The ones you get from those two high-level Slayer Masters really are not Slayer creatures that you find at the Slayer spots. So, like you said, it's really not worth it in the higher levels to do that. And, you know, like, with this, you said you want someone to do Social Slayer. If you get a task, you can use ranged equipment on, let me know and I'll come.
Actually, I believe it had to be together.
Yeah.
Before you activate it.
Well, no, you can get the task, and then before you start it, you can share it with someone.
Okay.
So you can do that. So let me know if that's the case, and same thing for anybody else in the community listening. If you're doing Slayer and you see me on, just I will do a ranged Slayer task because I need to level up my ranged. But also yeah, with so this update.
So do I.
Yeah. Also with this update comes the Slayer helmet change, which is good because the Slayer helmet as it stands is only a level 10 piece of equipment, which, you know, really is not that great. used to be melee based, but now it's an all-style weapon, and it also still has the 12.5 damage and accuracy boost against your current enemy. Now, this is good, but a level 10 item when you're level 70, 80, 90 defense, you know, it just doesn't really sound good now, does it?
Eh. Exactly. Yeah, so basically, they're going to boost it up. You're going to have, let's see, you have to go through roughly 4 tiers. It costs about 1,100 points.
Yep. 100 for the first one, 400 for the second one, 600 for the last one.
Yeah, so you have to go up in each spot. Anyway, so let me see, where was this? Here we go. If you have 60 crafting, you can use the ability to fuse the Slayer and the Ferocious Rings onto the helmet. But also, as you level up, it levels up to level 30, level 50, level 70, and gives a damage and accuracy bonus each time up to 14% at the highest tier. And it can hold up to 500 scrolls.
Which is nice. Because when you think about it, you want your Slayer helmet to aid you in blitzing these tasks as fast as you can. Because most of the time when you're doing this, you're going for fast combat XP and Slayer XP as a secondary objective. So it makes sense that that's the case. One interesting thing to note when you do this is that it might appear as though it doesn't work, but after a couple minutes of looking around at it, for anyone trying to figure this out, you actually need to be wearing the helmet in order to purchase the upgrade. So you just go to your favorite Slayer Master.
It actually says you're supposed to wear it.
Yeah, well, I missed that. I was trying to figure out what was going on. I mean, I had the thing in my inventory, but nothing was happening. So that's just a common mistake that people could make. But overall, I think this was an update that was long overdue because, you know, the Slayer helmet affords many of the protections against some of the creatures people like to go fight. But, of course, against high life-pointed creatures like dragons and whatnot, say Mithril dragons, let's say you get those, an extra 15% damage is very nice. All right, so that's pretty much all we got for this part of the update. One final thing is that you no longer need to complete smoking kills in order to access the reward shop. That's good, I think.
Yeah, so you can kind of make it, but you can't use the whole thing.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for Slayer. Nice little tidy up update, clean things up around the edges. Moving on from that, something people have been waiting for quite some time, and that's the end of World Event Number 2.
Ooh. Who won, know, Shane? Who won? Who?
Armadil?
Who did it? Who won?
This
who won?
With a grand total of 74,013,472. That's a lead of just under 28 million that the Bandos followers accumulated. So we were right in the first week when we called this in as a win for Armadil. And what did you think of the ending cutscene?
It was Angry Birds. That's what happened.
You know, you said that before, but I don't get that.
Armadil's a bird.
Right.
Bandos looks like a freaking pig.
Okay. But they weren't flinging
monsters.
Birds at Bandos.
Yeah, they were flinging us. We were its minions.
Okay, I guess that's a fair point. So, effectively what happened in this cutscene is that the energy we gathered overpowered Bandos, hit him, and he died. Then Armadil swoops in, steals the mace, bashes his head in, and there's nothing left of Bandos once this is done.
Actually, what did happen to Bandos in God of War's Dungeon?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if anything happens to the followers down there. Because, I mean, when Zamorak was taken down a tier, he wasn't killed off completely. So those people still have their god. But the goblins and the jogers and everything like that, they don't have their god anymore. So who knows what's going to happen this time. If you read the FAQ for the End of World Event 2, it does indeed say that they will be exploring what happened to the Bandos in the next quest that comes out pertaining to the new God Wars series. And I mean, there's some interesting stuff that they allude to behind the scenes with this, specifically relating to Armadil, because you know Armadil is the god of justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the idea is that Armadil might not have been actually trying to suck up Bandos' power, okay? Because if you remember from the Chosen Commander, that artifact we took from him in that one took him down a peg to the next lower tier of godhood. So Armadil isn't specifically gaining anything, in my view, from this victory. All that's really happening is he's absorbing some of the power, and he doesn't really care that he won. Because if you remember what happened in this one, it was Armadil that got attacked first, right?
No, he didn't get attacked first.
Yeah, Bandos started this little fight with him.
Oh, you mean like the very first cutscene with the whole energy thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that.
I wouldn't say Bandos started it. I would definitely say I wouldn't say Bandos started it, but I would say Armadil surely ended it.
Yeah, that's definitely true through our followers and whatnot. So, you know, I don't think this has as big of a bearing on the world as the first one did. Nonetheless, it was an interesting thing to compete in. I got lots of construction XP off it. And
yeah, so did I.
We're really changing the world one world event at a time when you think about it. Okay. Let's see. Was there anything else I needed to mention on this? I think there was. Okay. Yes. It was a subtle thought in my head that Jagex planted a seed a long time ago that Bandos is the villain, right?
Okay.
And I think that Jagex wanted Bandos dead all along. Because if Bandos is dead, that provides them a stepping stone as for a place to take their story. What I think they could effectively trying to do here is change up the gods as we know it, that they exist, in terms of which ones are at the forefront and which ones aren't. Because when you think about it, when before this whole thing started a year ago, it was still pretty much a wide known fact that Guthix, Ceridoman, and Zamorak were the top three that most people follow. And the others, really, we didn't know much about, and they were just behind the scenes, okay? So, I think they wanted to pick up on this war theme and paint Bandos as a villain, specifically from Missing Presumed Death. Because you remember there was that one line in Missing Presumed Death spoken by Ceridoman, "Be quiet, let the intellectuals talk, you brute," as Ceridoman said, geared towards Bandos. Now, this is already painting him as this dumb figure, and, you know, they're wanting to show that there's animosity towards him. So Jagex, I think, wanted him dead in order to catapult the storyline and further shift up the god table and look at where things are going.
Well, you know, I don't think Bandos is evil. I think he's more of a... I say he's more of... Let's see, what's a...
A Klingon.
Neutral chaotic in D&D terms. He's not an evil guy. He just does things for his own personal benefit.
Right. And so, because of this, that... He likes ruffling the feathers of people. And because of this, he tried to do that to a bird, and it didn't work out in his advantage. And Jagex probably knew this would be the case because he was a pretty obscure god up until a couple years back. But I don't know. That's just my theory on the thing.
Well, Bandos is... let's see. What's the word? Bandos was trying to fight a bird brain. He failed. So that just shows how smart it is.
Yep. Yep. And let's remember that Armadillo is pretty ancient as well. So there's probably some sort of back-end experience going on there, too. Alrighty. That covers Bird and the Beast. We can move on from this forever, unless there's anything else you need to mention.
Armadillo won, Bandos lost, we stole the maze, and heads are gonna get bopped.
No, Armadillo stole the maze.
Right, my bad. Armadillo stole the maze, and people are gonna get bopped.
Alright,
actually, you know what? You know what? You know what? I just thought of this. Armadillo's gonna be playing whack-a-mole. Think about it. What comes out next week? The mole update. Come on, Shane.
Right.
He's going to be playing whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole.
And that is in the same general area. Okay, that's kind of unintended, but I guess you could go that way. All right. Should we move on to the polling report for the week?
Okay.
All right. So,
anyways, the polling report.
Let's see. One week left on the Elf City versus Invention skill.
Not much has changed from this one.
That's good. I hope it sticks this way. Definitely looking forward to seeing the Elf City come out and the Grandmaster Quest that will follow. They did say that there will be a Grandmaster Quest behind that, so we are happy about that, aren't we?
Well, let's see. Let's hope it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. After that last voted win one. Let's hope so. Okay, this next one I'm kind of disappointed about. Brassic Prime versus Marimbo is winning 67% to 32% for a traditional Easter event.
What is that bad?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that these kind of holidays like that should be traditional, since that's exactly what they're geared about. And, you know, I just think we need to protect it. Because one thing will lead to another. We had a RuneScape-y type Halloween event. Now we're having an Easter event. I worry to think that the next one to go RuneScape-y will be Christmas.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not so much this event on a whole. I'm just worried about what precedent this is setting for later on. That's all. I mean, there's lots of things they could still do with Easter. They don't always need to go back and visit the whole Easter Bunny thing. They could re-release or release a different form of the Easter ears, similar to what they did with the Black Santa hat this year.
The pink bunny ears.
Yeah, do you have the bunny ears?
Oh, I didn't get it when it came out. I was actually out that day.
It only dropped
for one day, and that was from midnight GMT to midnight GMT. Which, you know, when it was that time, I was in La La Land, and I woke up, I was gone the whole day, so I never got it. We call those the Playboy Bunny years.
Okay. Which one did you vote for, by the way?
Prime. Okay. I thought it was time for something new.
Yeah, the Monkey God versus the Cabbage, that's going to be downright amusing.
My cabbages!
Come. Jagex always likes their cabbage. All right, the next one is about dragons, so tell us about that.
Well, a couple of dragons are planning on releasing, and within the next 2 to 3 months, we got Alchemical. Shane, help me out with that one.
Celestial.
No, the first one, dum-dum.
Alchemical.
That sounded better. Okay, we got that one, which is supposed to drop farming and herblore supplies. Celestial Dragon, which is supposed to drop summoning supplies. Gemstone Dragon, which is supposed to drop gems and mining supply. And the goal, which is for basically loot bags and silver and gold. So far, Celestial Dragon is winning by 38%, followed by Gold Dragon at 23%.
I voted for Celestial, primarily because I think summoning ingredients are one of the most expensive things in game at this time. And the only real way of getting, say, water talismans, as an example, is to farm the Glacors when they drop them in batches of three. So that's why I voted for that one. I didn't vote for the farming one because we can already get lots of farming equipment from the Miscellanea Kingdom management.
Well, in fact, you have 99 farming already.
Well, no,
but,
you know,
since they're new dragons, they may drop, I don't know. But I think with that, though, they'll probably drop new items as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mini, you know, maybe like new farming gear or something to increase the chance.
Yeah, and I mean,
surviving.
Each new dragon that's come out has always dropped something interesting, depending on its level tier. The Mithril Dragon was the Dragon Full Helmet. The Iron and Steel Dragons and Bronze Dragons were the Dragon Plate Legs and Dragon Skirt. So there's definitely going to be something useful from this. So it's going to be an interesting thing to fight when it comes out, regardless of what it ends up dropping. But it's looking like it's going to be dropping the summoning stuff at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all there is to say on that. We can move on to the tweaks and fixes now. Interesting things happening this week are the snapshot ability. That's been changed. This is basically a change that, in my view, or no, never mind. I'm getting ahead of myself. Snapshot is the one that fires two shots very quickly. It's basically the ranged double tap ability. First shot deals between 100% and 120 weapon damage, up from 33% to 100%. And the second one deals 100 to 210% damage from 33 to 100% damage. So it's almost guaranteed to do more damage than your standard attack would, which is good. Because I don't think you should be penalized when you use an ability with less damage than the auto attack damage. So that's good. And also, this is the one I'm really happy about. Snipe will now fire after 1.8 seconds, reduced from 3 seconds, and has had its
that is very nice.
Damage adjusted to be lower but more reliable. So now it's between 125 and 166% damage, and previously it's between 100 and 210%. So, once again,
I never really used that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm always looking for extra things to throw on my ranged action bar, but there's just not enough.
Well, and the problem with that one is that you really use that when you start a fight to get that little extra damage, and that's it. When you're in middle of combat, it doesn't work very well. You might as well just use the other four and just save all your threshold.
Mm-hmm.
It's only good if, and you know, targeting in RS is not as great as we would like.
Yeah, so that's good. But we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Interesting thing next is that player-owned house armor stands can now repair Draigor weaponry. Reduces the cost by up to 50%.
This is good. This is good for those who want to, you know, have Draigors and have the smithing levels to really fix it up instead of paying more, but then again, you're probably rich enough to pay off the bat anyway.
Yeah, and plus you can use the pieces you get from the Kalphite King in order to enable that. Alright, we're going to leave this next thing for a bit later in the section here, but next up, another beta has arrived. Did this surprise you?
Woo! Yeah, okay.
Okay. So basically, today we were greeted with a free-to-play beta for combat. So this is effectively trying out EOC 2.0. That's the way it feels to me. And let me tell you exactly why it feels this way. First things first, special attacks are coming back. Ability queuing up. Upgrading momentum. Automatic casting of abilities, quick loadout switching, action bar setups. This is not what you think. I was as disappointed about this as you are. And PvP refinements. So, you know, I don't know how I feel about this. Why don't you start?
I kind of like it. But I'll let you start first because I know what you're going to say anyway.
Okay. Well.
You're going to take forever.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm going to be quick.
Yeah, you will.
I'm just going to say this is a year too late. This should have come out last January. EOC came out November 2012. This should have come out January 2013. It's a year too late. Because if you look at each one of these things that they're highlighting in this beta, special attacks, auto casting of abilities, momentum giving you more adrenaline and allowing you to use ultimates, ability queuing, automatic setup of action bars, quick loadout switching, and PvP refinements. These are all things geared towards that batch of people who did not like EOC when it first came out. And I just think it's a year too late because those people are either A, gone from the game completely and refuse to believe anything Jagex says now, or they're playing 07 happily and are just going to stay over there. You're not going to get these people back. I think it's too little too late on that regard. And because of that, I think that this beta should be tweaked in terms of having it always be an ongoing beta, but have it geared towards making improvements to EOC for people who play EOC and use it, like you and I. Changes I would bring into my EOC beta are more action bars.
Action bars?
I would also increase the diversity of the abilities. The abilities are good right now, but there's no reason to use different ones. They don't offer special effects. Like, as an example, I would like to see an ability that debuffs a target more than 10%. Jagex really needs to look into having different types of combat in here. Have a debuffer roll. Have a spike damage roll. Have a role that can, you know, defend the team with maybe having a huge 5x5 square defensive aura. That sort of thing.
That's called living aura spells.
I know. So that sort of thing is what I would like to see also in there. And the fourth thing that would go in my beta would be filling out the tiers of armor and weapons to make them more diverse. Now, bringing back the special attacks is a good thing to try and do that. But there's one small problem with the old special attacks. Most of them have been converted to abilities. For example, you remember the old Dragon Dagger special attack? Mm-hmm. That's the snapshot ability we were just talking about a couple minutes ago. That's the wild magic Dragon ability. Dagger, so these things have already been converted.
Okay.
So I just think that they need to, I mean, granted, we might see it that way, and that it will tip more towards being unique specials, but that is really what needs to happen with EOC currently.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay. I think, well, Shane, I don't think they're targeting those in 07. Remember, if you're an 07 player, you pay more to play 07 than you do the regular game. So they want to stay there. That's actually more money for them, for Jagex, in their pocket. Remember, they have to pay roughly double of what regular RS players pay because they're accessing 07, and we didn't reach the 500,000 votes.
No, it's still free for members.
Really? I thought they tracked up the price.
No, it's still free.
Okay, well, they're still paying to play the game, so they don't care. I think this is more, I like the fact that I can now kind of do a little more AFK training.
Yeah. Now, that's good. I'm just going to say one thing about Revolution. Sorry for cutting you off here. But I don't think Revolution is the way to answer this problem. I think what you do is you combine Revolution and Momentum and make Momentum Revolution. So basically you load up your bar with basic abilities and then you activate momentum and that will cast the abilities. As in, it's not just an auto attack because I tested this out on the server and momentum is still useless. So I just think that momentum needs to become revolution than with the thing where it can set action bars up, then we're good to go on that.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, Shane, about Revolution. It's supposed to middle ground. It gives you the extra damage of using the ability without having to use the ability. Mm-hmm. Remember, Slayer used to be very AFKable. You just, especially for some monsters who are very aggressive, you just stand there and tank it.
Yeah.
Now you can't really do that as much anymore. But what's good about what I like about Revelation is the fact that I can set it up and I can still do a little more AFK training, and when I feel like it, pop some ultimates or thresholds and abilities as well. Special attack, in the video they already said that it drains special energy. I mean, not special, it drains adrenaline. It's going to be a little, I feel that it's going to be something, an ability between either basic and threshold or threshold and ultimate. It's something that little middle ground gives you a little extra oomph in between.
Yeah.
Depending on what weapon you're using, I can see that being quite powerful later on. Ability queuing, let's see, selected even on cooldown, I think that's a little useless, because usually if it's on cooldown and you try and queue it up, it's kind of pointless. But it may be good later on. It may be good if you're using snipe, then you queue it up and you don't have to worry about trying to target correctly, because the targeting system is still kind of pretty bad. Momentum plus, we're going to upgrade, allows you low intensity gameplay while locking you out of other combat features, meaning you can use activate ultimate abilities and special attacks. Remember, momentum is not designed to kill things fast. It's designed for people who don't want to click every single time. Press 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 4, 1, 5, 6, 9. It's going to be that little middle ground, and you'd be able to use the ultimate ability without losing the momentum. That just gives you, that just lets you kill things faster. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Quick loadout switching, changing equipment. I don't, honestly, unless you're going to be, some boss huntings would probably do it. But I see it's more for PvP.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt you for a second here?
You did that. You've been doing that all day. Okay.
Well, this is actually something that's coming to Star Trek Online in the next patch as well. It's interesting. RS is bringing in at the same time. Continue. And
it is. Mm-hmm. Which one? The quick loadout thing?
Yeah.
And I think changing equipment, I think you can kind of do that with the X and Z button that they have on your inventory with weapons. But the main problem is really going to be changing the action bar to meet the weapon that you're using, because I don't think you'll be using double-handed for all the time.
Yeah.
PvP refinement, that is very, very needed. PvP has always been the testing ground for any ability bars and everything else. So updating that, it actually makes it work better. And one thing I would like to see them do is actually split it off. Have a PvP tree that's designed only for PvP and another tree for PvE. And so what's good about if they do that is, you know, those who like PvP can have other abilities which are very, maybe not as powerful as the PvE portion because of how damaging it could be.
Yeah.
But on the other
hand,
they may decide.
That's the classic imbalance that comes to any game. Things can be tested against players, and they can be tested against AIs or NPCs or whatever you want to call them, and they're always going to test differently, and it is a delicate balance to know which one to balance out for.
Well, here's the thing of the games like other games like Guild Wars and I think World of Warcraft before, they actually separated PvP and PvE skills. You'll have the same skill, but with two different descriptions depending on which role you're doing. And
you know, we might need that here.
Yeah, that's what Jagex needs. You can't use the same PvE skills that can kill off a boss in 3 seconds flat and expect to. That's going to be fair in PvP. It basically comes down to who can gather adrenaline faster and get more lucky hits.
Yep.
That's not what PvP should always be. PvP should always be about skill and using the ability bar correctly. Although I do wish that we had some more builds and hours. I think that if they release more skills into it, it can be very good, very powerful.
If you think about it,
almost everybody has the same skill setup. Shane, you know, out of curiosity, how many defensive skills do you have on your ability bar?
Two.
I got zero. I'm using every single one for offensive. And the like, my defensive is basically a little bit of freedom, and that's basically it. And devotion, because it heals me a little bit more.
Right.
Not enough devotion, that sacrifice.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, in the forum for this beta, people are talking about bringing back 138 combat. Mod pips purely just seeking opinion. How would you feel about having this being an option, so you could choose 138 versus 200 combat level calculation? Which would you choose? How? That's how you see the combat levels calculated for everything, monsters and players.
No, don't do that. That'd
no,
be
I
it.
Agree. Like, this is the thing. I mean, I feel like this is opening up a can of worms. Bringing back special attacks, potentially looking at bringing back the old combat formula. No, absolutely not. I like the new combat formula. It's dead simple. And it really lets you see how somebody is skilled. So, I don't know. We're at a very interesting time, wouldn't you say? Oh boy.
Jagex is trying to find a middle ground.
Yeah, exactly.
But, honestly, they don't care about 07 people. They just make it enough so that they'll stay there.
And I mean, the thing is, it seems like once again it feels as though Jagex is looking for approval of their combat system. And I think that a large majority of the problems and the situation where we're at right now, specifically this beta, could have been avoided if the original beta had been carried out a bit differently. And this is one of the things I'm going to hammer home each week that we talk about this update. Everybody out there listening to this, you need to tell your friends.
Well, Shane, it's already too late. Why don't you just knock it off?
No, you don't know what I'm going to say. Hang on.
You say this, Shane, you've been saying this for a whole year.
No, just, you don't know what I'm going to say. Hang on. All right. Everybody listening to this, you need to tell your friends, tell everybody you talk to on RS to play this beta. If you do not play this beta, we're going to end up with an EOC 2.0 that is as broken as the first one was when it was released. So all I'm saying is that if you have the slightest interest into the future of combat in RuneScape, whether you're a maxed player with 200 combat on the current system and you love it, or if you're someone who hated it ever since it was first announced, get in this beta, play it, submit your feedback. Submit your feedback to Jagex. That is the only way we're going to come out of this with a successful combat system, is if everybody submits their feedback. That's all there is to it.
Wishful thinking.
I mean, yeah, it might be wishful thinking, but that's got to happen. If it doesn't, this is going to take the way of the loudest people that exist. And I mean, I don't know which way that's going to go, but fingers crossed.
Okay. Fine.
Oh, and by the way, Let me tell you what special weapons with special attacks are back in game. Armadale Godsword, actually all the Godswords, Dragon Dagger, Scimitar, Longsword, Mace, Battle Axe, Halberd, Spear, Two-Handed Sword, Claws, Karazi's Sword, Magic Longbow and Shortbow, the Dark Bow, Xanax Crossbow, Morrigan's Throne Axe, Morrigan's Javelin, and the Staff of Light. And they're going to be adding more. So those, which was your favorite?
Well, I sold everything. All I have now are Chaotix.
too bad. My favorite old special attack was the Dragon Battle Axe special attack. It would make you do more damage over the next 2 minutes. And when you think about it, it looks kind of like the ultimate ability Berserk. So. But, I mean, magic, longbow, and shortbow, those are low-leveled weapons compared to what we got now. So it would be nice to see some of these specials move up into the higher tiers, I guess. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was nice logging in and seeing that old dragon longsword special back in the bar. That used to be my favorite thing for power training back then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nonetheless, whichever way you swing, just try the beta. That's all I got to say.
Oh, you know, there was a video of someone who hated EOC, and then his friend got him to try it out.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
It was on RuneWire a couple weeks ago. Well, he was one of those ignorant teenage, older teenage boy who thought he knew everything. So it was just more of an annoying just to hear him talk.
Oh, okay. And what was the end result? Did he like this?
He enjoyed it, but I didn't see the rest of it. I just went to the beginnings, went to the middle, and that was done.
I found the video. It was posted by 101 Duck 1 on the 24th of December. IRL friend reaction to first time playing RS3. All right. Okay, so next up, something you and I have talked about before, and we think it's both needed, isn't it?
Reinventing the squeal?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so now they go make them in treasure hunts.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be lore-based now, kind of. And kind of RuneScape-y, which is nice. So every day you'll win randomly selected prizes, and instead of spinning the wheel, you'll open chests, each of which has their prize in it. Rarities similar to Squeal of Fortune, tweaked to your skill levels, and they hope it'll keep more of what you want to win. And a completely new interface with new themes, with the spirit of RuneScape in mind. So you're still going to be able to buy things for it, just the spins are being rebranded. I actually think it's about time for something like this myself, because, you know, it never did really fit in, but it was fun to spin the wheel and kind of at the very beginning. You remember where we thought we could determine where it would land?
I could.
I don't know.
You remember? I showed you. I told you about that. You got some too. You agree with me for a time period.
Yeah, but then I stopped.
Yeah, and then 10X came out. Like, I'm too lazy to try and count, so I just let it go.
Yeah.
Now I get junk. Before, I remember, I told you one time I actually timed it right, and I got two double spins in one round, one go. I ended up having 7 spins altogether. And yeah, it worked. Great. I timed it.
Yeah, well, I mean, can you still do it if you go to 1? I mean, I never was able to do it,
I went in there. Last time I went in there, I got closer to 1 I wanted, but I've been rusty.
Okay.
I would literally be 1 square off from the 1 I wanted. It's like, it's fine.
And there's an FAQ about this. I can only get uncommon.
And that thing's full of junk. Full of hoo-ha.
The FAQ?
The whole randomness thing is not random.
Okay. All right, well, this is going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. Overall, a good thing, I think. And it'll force a bunch of people to maybe reevaluate their opinion on it. But nonetheless, next thing on here I'm happy about. Retro Armor number 2. You know which one I bought of these already?
Torba?
No, the Dragonfire Shield.
The old blocky one.
Yeah.
That looks like a giant mouth on the shield.
Yep. And you know, the reason I did that is because it looks like you can actually see the old Dragonfire Shield behind it. So that's the main reason why I picked that. So there's that.
Okay.
And also, they've improved the Dragon Plate armor to include the Dragon Plate Skirt and Dragon Chain Body as well. So that's nice.
Yay.
You gonna get any of these?
No.
Okay.
I don't care about cosmetic items.
Yeah. All right, and what's our last thing?
Last thing, we have the Community Chronicle.
All right. So, interesting thing on this. Last week saw 7 of our biggest supporters take a tour around Jagex HQ, where they spoke with their favorite developers and JMods, tested some up-and-coming content, and gave us feedback on what matters most to them, while having a really awesome time. They're wanting to continue this throughout 2014 by making player visits a regular thing, so keep an eye on their social pages and forums for more updates on that. That'd be nice to go visit there.
I'm broke.
Well, I mean, if it was provided to you. If it was provided to you.
No, I can't. I can't afford the. I can't afford the souvenir expenses.
Oh, okay.
Not unless they give me £1,000 gift card or something.
See, the thing is, I think I might be a little too strongly spoken on some things, and you know that's why I just really really highlighted here this week to get on the beta and everyone test it one way or another. That's very important, and I just hope that's not too strong. But that's the way it is here on the show. The RuneScape community on Twitter, they want everybody to follow their JMods. Recently, ModMMG, so that's the CEO, joined Twitter, so you can get on there and chat with all them. And, you know, they reply back to people and everything. And they have a full list of the JMods on Twitter on their wiki. So you can see everyone on there from Mod Mark, you know, Mod Pips, Catfish, MMG, Boko, Chris L, Connor, pretty much everyone on there from community management to web and video and everything. So it's pretty good.
Okay, then.
And also, we got some player-made art. So Tuska's general. And
that one looks quite nice.
Yeah, pretty detailed, I'd say.
The Armored one by Drez looks interesting as well. Interesting concept of how Armored looks like.
Go ahead.
Anime character.
Yeah, I was gonna say cartoonish. But apparently it's done in MS Paint.
That's good if it was done in MS Paint. Oops.
Yeah. Also, farming woodcutting dress. Rather interesting, but not really for me.
Well, woodcutting dress, you wouldn't be wearing a dress, Shane. Unless you want the kilt.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's a chronicle and
there's
and,
a...
Hmm?
Oh, that's the next part. The what to watch. You know, my little resolution for this year.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Well, I'm trying to solo bosses better, and there's a little minigun how to kill Sarah Doman solo a lot better.
Although, 20 kills per hour.
Yet, he probably has overload and all the other high-tech stuff with him. No. So, but, you know, maybe I'll take a watch of this later on. Just trying to take some pointers.
One thing I was considering doing, maybe as a supplemental or a focus, was doing something on the QBD for medium level players. How to do it and how to do it effectively, because it is a good moneymaker, and I think that's something that we could do around here. I know we've been duoing Bandos and Sarah Doman quite a bit, so that's also possible under the current setup as well.
And I've been soloing a very special type of monsters on RS.
What do you mean by special?
Oh, special.
All right. You can, yeah, you tell us that after. Let's move on to questions now.
Okay.
All right. And, first ones.
Small quick reminder. Hold on, Shane. One small reminder. Jagex does have their own podcast called Rune Radio. Give them a listen when you get a chance.
All right.
I give credit and credits too, Shane.
Our first question is from Ramska, and it is an audio question.
Hello, 200 Combat Shane and Tricky. How you doing? Bromsky here. I'd like to say a happy birthday to Australia on the 26th. 113 years young. Established as a nation, of course. Anyways, just the other week, I found out 07 still receives updates, and I'm a bit cynical about it since they said they only were able to dig up that state of RuneScape, which I call BS on that, since I don't think they would rewrite the whole God Wars dungeon and yada yada. Surely they have a yearly backup of that game. Hate aside. And since combat is such a main focus of the game, releasing level 90 armors, wouldn't you think it's capping the game a bit early? I mean, down the road, within a few years, that they will become the new Bandos armor or tier 70 armor. What do you think they can do to add upon the repertoire? Increase level caps so they can put out new armor, or I don't know, some other methods of improving the existing set. Anyway, I'll talk to you next time. Boromska out.
They may release level 99 gear in the future.
Yeah, I think that's definitely coming at some point, and not for a while when it does, because 99 is a big step from 90. And let's remember that as you go higher in combat, the difference between level 70 and level 80 armor is smaller than the difference between 80 and 90 armor. So it's what we call an exponential increase in the amount of defense and power that it can give you. So the step up from 90 to 99 is pretty big. So we will see 95 and eventually 99 armor come out. But after that, I think it's really going to come to the invention skill. Because when you think about it, that is the way that most games go nowadays, is that you get this armor and you just get it right away when you start out, and then you level it up as you go. So I think that's the way they want to go with future releases, and that's what the invention skill was meant to be, but it doesn't look like we'll be seeing it this year. So with that being said, I think we just got to hold on and wait.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they could go back and backfill, like we said, and add things that are more choices as to what you get. Because right now you got the hybrid choice, the power armor choice, and the tank choice, which is pretty easy to choose most of the time. You go for the tank armor. Power armor really doesn't give you a significant boost in damage. And hybrid armor, I guess, is only good if you're hybriding, but I've not really seen many people or NPCs where you do that. So I think one area where they could go back in and fill in certain gaps would be to add special effects to the pieces of armor and armor sets, much like we had before EOC went away. An example of something that like that exists right now. You know those shields that you get from the corporeal beast?
Mm-hmm. Spirit shields.
Yeah, the spirit shields. When you use those and you wear them, if you have prayer points, they reduce the damage you take by 30%. So you could add other sets of armor that do something like that, or maybe something a little bit different based on other certain skills in the game. Maybe, I don't know, an example could be that, let's say you have a set of armor. No, that would mess with the combat triangle. Never mind. Let's just say you have something that ties in with your crafting level, a set of ranged armor, and based on your crafting level, it degrades at a slower rate. So if you have 70 crafting, it'll degrade at this one rate. But if it's like you, where you have 99 crafting, it'll degrade much slower. So that I think that's kind of where we could see things filled in the future on that area.
Okay. It's kind of like the using the armor repair stand in your house, but in reverse. The higher your skill, the more benefits you get from it.
Exactly. So, of course, you'd need to make the armor on your own beforehand, which you already do with most of the power armor in game. But, I mean, that's not a problem. So.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on that one?
No, not really.
All righty. You want to read this next one, or should I?
You're talking about this 07 question, though.
No, the text one. We're not going to answer the 07 one because we just don't do that at this show.
Okay. This is from Garden Gal 4. I wrote to you several months ago about trimming my farming kit with multiple 99s. I had seven clothes at the time. You guys mentioned the record for RSBNB was 12, I think by Uncle Dana, which helped inspire me. I was going to do 14, but sadly on Christmas Day, I accidentally got 99 Hunter by catching a Chronicle while training Divination. Thankfully, I had taken your advice and got a keepsake for my untrimmed farming cape. I would really be devastated if I didn't have that. I bought the multiple keepsake and not sure what else to use them for. My question is, what do you have keepsaked? Or what would you do if you had some keepsakes to use? I'm going to get my 1399 on February 1st at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, World 91 at the Varrock Museum with Strange Rocks, if anybody cares to watch. I'll put it on YouTube later. Thank you so much for the advice and all the hard work you do to bring us a great podcast and website. Garden Gal 4. Let's see. February 1st, 5 p.m. That's going to be on a Saturday. Shane, we should go.
Yeah, we should. One thing I'm going to say, I think there's still time in order for you to do this before then. But if you go to our website and you go to the forums and sign up and you enter in your RuneScape name and make a post, you will appear on our high scores. So what you can do is that you go to the forums, make a post before February 1st, and then you'll get taken into our high scores. And then once you do, your 99s will be tracked, and we'll announce them on the show. So that's just the way the high scores work, and it would be too much work for us to track down everyone's 99s that wants to be tracked for this weekly, so we just use the high scores. So I highly advise you to do that. All you need to do is fill in your RS name and select P2P status, and you'll be grabbed.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it was Uncle Dean who got the 1299s all in one go. We didn't think anyone would beat that record, but you know, records are made to be broken, and I'm sure Uncle Dana would be honored that you held him in such high regard.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. So about her question, Shane, keepsake. What do you have keepsaked? And I'll just start off the bat. I have nothing I care for keepsake because I don't care for that stuff. So I don't have any keepsakes and I don't plan on getting any.
Okay. Mine comes down to Christmas time. My main things I keepsake are the Santa hat and the red and white scarf outfit and the Santa suit. Main reason I do that is because I can wear my weight-reducing gear or my combat gear at Christmas time and not need to worry about equipping this and, you know, being able to use it. Normally, I start wearing it on December 1st until about the first weekend of January. And the thing is, if I'm in a phase of RuneScape where I'm doing lots of combat, chances are I won't be changing out of my armor very often, so I don't actually get to wear the Christmas attire if I was doing that. So that's my rationale behind keepsaking that. Now, on the other hand, the other 11 months of the year, I don't really use that system. The only time I would use that system is if I could go back and get an untrimmed farming cape and do exactly what you did. And, you know, at this point, I'd be willing to do anything in order to get that untrimmed farming cape. Probably all the way back to, oh, I don't know, maybe even saying 07 was a good idea. So I'm kind of willing to do anything for that.
Well, too bad Prestige didn't go through.
Yep. And, I mean, I'm hoping that they said they were going to be looking at that same sort of thing this year. So maybe there will be some way of resetting the farming cape or something like that. But, yeah.
Okay.
The only thing, I mean, I never really had a outfit because back in the olden days, I would stick to one thing for a long time, and normally that would be skilling, so I could wear whatever I want. I didn't exactly need armor back then, so it wasn't much of an issue. I guess if I was to have the Untrim farming cape, what I would do is I would wear my old farming outfit way back when, and that was the green elegant shirt with the black cap and the farming cape. So that's actually what it would be if I had to choose and could get all those things. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
I am finished with that one. So I think we're done with the questions.
Yes, and we look forward to try and catch you when you get your 99s on the first.
Yeah, and just a surefire way of getting us to be there is to send in a question next week, poking us, reminding us to do that, because we record these on Friday, and if it's made a note, I can make a note of it for the next Saturday and make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to tech news. The Mac turns 30. So it was 1984, the Macintosh, and basically what Apple's done is they put together a website that showcases the history of the Mac timeline for the past 30 years, what it's been used for. So pretty much everything like making art kid-friendly, design, video games, music and technology, graphic novels, creating music, using the internet for the first time, mobilizing the photo studio, leading the way in sports, unleashing every student's potential, building an icon, redefining audio, designing the world stage, taking science out of the lab, and so on. So basically it goes through each year and shows one of the things that people who use a Mac used it for. And they've actually put together a video on this front that you can watch at apple.com/30years. And when you go there, there's a link on the top where you can click your first Mac. Then they're gathering information from everyone as to what their first Macs were. And there were lots of different types of Macs. And the most popular one is the MacBook Air from 2009, being as the most common first Mac, with 3.3%, followed by the Macintosh of 1984 with 2.6%.
Hmm.
And you can also drag this little slider to see what people do with the Mac. And for a long time, education and teaching is the biggest thing in there, probably until, from 96 onwards, email and internet start cropping up and programming and quite a bit. But definitely a fun interactive timeline, and take a look. You have anything on this?
About Max? No, yeah. That's your domain, not mine.
Okay. Alrighty then. Definitely check this out. What's next?
Facebook is done.
You know, it seems like every year someone says this, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Basically, the study says Facebook is to lose 80% of their users and become the next MySpace by 2017. They basically likened it to an infectious disease. You know how a disease reaches a peak and then it slowly shrinks down?
Uh-huh.
That's what they compared this to. And, you know, it makes sense. As something grows, it's going to gain popularity over time. And then as the disease reaches the population, more people get immune, and then gradually it dies out. So basically, 80% of the user base will go between 2015 and 2017. according to past trends, as happened with MySpace, and Facebook will fade into obscurity. And, you know, this has happened for pretty much every social network. So the challenge to Facebook is to try and find a way to avoid this. And, you know, this is something you and I have been saying for quite some time, because we don't really use this thing now, do we?
Facebook? No.
Yeah, exactly. So...
MySpace is trying to make a comeback.
But it hasn't been successful now.
Because everyone uses Facebook now.
I know, and I just think it's a conclusion that we're going to reach that this is going to happen at some point. Hmm. And we're already seeing signs of it. Instagram was the first sign. Second sign was everything like Vine and Snapchat. And everybody who is in high school currently, I am betting, does not use Facebook. So, I don't know. I just don't think that we're going to be in a Facebook future based on this. Granted, it, you know, it would be nice for people to have their Facebook stick around, but if people aren't using it, people aren't going to, like, if their friends aren't using it, people aren't going to stick. So, I don't know. I just think this is a natural evolution of things.
Okay, well, we'll see what Facebook does. And, you know, people are moving on with other social medias now and again.
Yeah, and I mean, the writing's on the wall. That's just the way it goes. Moving on, next one.
All right, and last but not least, ATMs are going to be in trouble because they all run on XP.
Yeah, that's right.
The SOD.
Basically, what's happening is Windows XP support is running out. So, well, all these ATMs running Windows XP are going to be insecure. So, you know, it's always banks who have the worst security. So it kind of goes without saying. So just be careful when you're using ATMs, I guess. Though there's really not much we can do on the front end to stop this now, is there?
Well, you know, I don't know. XP was so ingrained in everyone for such a long time before Vista, and even with Vista, it was very still XP. Some places still use XP because Windows 7 and 8 are still very expensive.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I mean, lots of the thing about XP was that it's just so simple, right? Compared to Vista and 7. That people really, really don't want to move past it. So I can see where that comes from, but to the point where we're running out of time on this, it's definitely something that needs to be looked at. And if you are running Windows XP and you are listening to this show, I highly encourage you to upgrade to Windows 7. There is a very good chance that you can run this, and the date for cutoff on security updates is April 8th. So that's going to be fast approaching within the next month or two. So be careful.
Okay.
Alrighty, moving on. That's it for tech news. On to other things. So the January 2014 skill of the month is attack. Attack.
Attack.
And unsurprisingly, attack. What attack. Do we got?
Let's see. Is it about the same thing as last week?
Pretty much, yeah. Jamandy is still in the lead.
Well, Jamandy stopped flatlining, so the defib worked.
That's good. First place with over 2 million XP now. Second place, One Stone Pwn at 709,000. And third place, Parnassius, 610,000.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. So, achievements of the week. Okay. We got three of them this week.
Yes. We have Parnassius, who got 99 summoning on January 23rd.
Scream Truth also got 99 summoning on the 23rd.
And somebody got 99 defense on January 23rd as well.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. So
an accident, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It crept up rather quickly. I was at the Glacier's fighting things, and I looked at it probably about an hour and a bit beforehand, and I was 200k away from 99 death. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'll be fine, so we can just leave it. And I left it, and I got 99 without noticing. So,
yeah. That's good. Congrats, Shane.
That made me 200 combat.
Yay.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Next step will be to raise summoning, of course, and then after that ranged, and then we can call everything done. But, I just did it for the hell of it, and I mean, like I said, it was rather unplanned, so no party whatsoever, no skill cape, and just 99 defense the way you normally get 99 defense. Okay, do you have a pick for the week?
No, I don't, but I think you do.
Yes, I do. In the event that you did not have a pick, I do have one. This pick is something that I have been doing for a little while. It is free. It's a game. It's called World of Tanks. We basically stumbled onto this game recently, and I have taken a liking to it, so I thought I would share it with everyone here. Basically what it is it's a World War II shooter, except from the tank's perspective. And that is all there is to this game. All you need to do is you choose one tank, and then you run into battle with it. And as you use these tanks in battle, each of these tanks earn experience. And with this experience, you can buy upgrades for them and gradually move on to the next type of tank in that tier. And then as you do this, they get better and better and better, more powerful, more hit points, that sort of thing. And you know, it's a good game that you can just get into, low barrier of entry, no grinding unlike RS. And yeah, so I just picked this up recently and thought it might be a good thing to share if anybody out there is looking for something to do in their RS off time while your ships are out sailing. So that's that. You can find it by just Googling World of Tanks or going to worldoftanks.com and download it. It is Windows only, unfortunately. So I know there are a couple Mac users out in the audience, but Windows only, unfortunately. You ever tried it?
World of Tanks? No. Okay. People used to play it before, and they were contemplating making World of Planes and World of Ships, and then at the very end, bundle all three games into one giant, massive game, but it's been slow to progress.
Yeah, and you know, somebody else got a jump on the World of Planes kind of thing. It was called the War Thunder, so there's that. But I think World of Tanks is pretty good. It is set in the World War II time frame, so, I mean, if you like that kind of history and you know what the tanks were from then, you can definitely progress in that area. As an example, I'm currently doing the German tanks, going for German heavies. It's because I like tanks that won't die and are rather thick-skinned. So, yeah. Alrighty, so okay. What have you been up to?
Not much. I've been working and doing my classes. Finally got some stuff done at work, which I'm actually proud of. RS-wise, I did a little bit of Dungeoneering for once because I missed it. I missed doing it. And got a Divination level, and I got a very nice item from Glycor, Shane.
Oh, yeah, numerous of them. What did you get?
I got the Glavian Boots.
Once
which
again.
Is the, which is... No, last time it was the... Wait, was it again? No, last time was Magic Boots, I believe, not the Range ones. Was it? I can't remember. It was strange. Oh, I had to look in my adventure log to see what it was, but I got those again. I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. I think I got good at slaying them now because I actually, when I left, I still had a lot of potions and food in my inventory. I just left because I had to go.
Yeah, and I mean, once you get a good method down for those, they are really quick and they are good combat XP.
Although my... sorry, you finish up first.
No, you.
I was saying it's still very annoying to have the little hit point bar above where they are because it so distracts me as I'm trying to kill the monsters I want to kill first.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to have the two hit point bars. I prefer the one with the name and what it shows they're weak against. I think that one just looks nicer
Well,
and it gives more pertinent info.
I think what it should do is just make one bar way at the top, like many other games. Kind of like where they put the armadillo versus bandos, put a giant hit point armor of you and them right there. That would work great.
Yeah, there's another option. So, I have to ask you, do you have any idea how many you've killed?
Oh no,
Because I've been going to these
quite a
things for hours at a time ever since they came out. Like, it's just something I would do randomly. Go when I've never got a single boot drop from them. I don't know why. It
bit.
just never happens. And I mean, it seems as though recently you have gone less than I have and yet got the two boot drops, which is just weird.
Well, I first time I went there, I got boot drop, and then a couple of weeks later, when I went back yesterday, is when I got boot drop again. It's like, ooh, cool.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I don't get. It just seems weird, but nonetheless, good luck to you. So, good job. All right. What's next? Anything else for you?
Anything else for me? Well, I finally updated my repertoire. So I sold all of my old level gear that I had, and finally got all poor superior armor. Went all
Yeah.
chaotic on every item: staff, double crossbow. I so wish it was a wand, but there isn't. So, ooh.
You sure accomplished that quickly.
What? Updating my repertoire?
Yeah.
Well, I had tons of points, dungeoneering points saved up. I just didn't use them. And
Okay.
I had max stack in every single one of them, so of the trade resources, I just didn't use them. And now, since they're capped at 250, I can't do anything with them until. I thought about making a tradable version and selling those, but people were saying since the new one's gonna come out soon, you might want to save it and see what happens.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess it's time for me to share what I've been up to this week. Primarily, I've been doing the same thing you've been trying to do, and that is increase the level of my arsenal in RuneScape from level 70-ish to 80-ish or beyond. And in doing that, I've been like you, going to the Glacers, trying to kill them and get their boot drops, but I have not had any of that good luck, so that's too bad for me. But aside from that, I've just been doing some Queen Black Dragon trips, herb farming, that sort of thing. Last night was a very, very good night at the Queen Black Dragon. I got three of the pieces in the span of about 20 minutes, and I also got 200 Lantatimes, 300 Eulogs over an hour. So it was a very, very successful trip, probably on the order of about 4.5 million made it in an hour. So, as I said, very nice moneymaker, and always nice to be able to do that. Oh, right. We didn't mention your moneymaking method now, did we?
The little thing that I was calculating with you.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Sure. Well, sure. We want to leak this out. I mean, this is a good way for mid levels to make some decent cash, as they're just messing the boots.
All right. Do it. Tell them.
Okay. Well, I was looking at some items from maple. Difference prices between maples and yew trees and yew logs. Sorry, maple logs and yew logs. And I, found out that, you can change three maple logs into one yew. So with a 71 divination and plenty of energy, lustrous energy. So I looked at GE and noticed that maple logs are only around 32 GP each, while yew logs are about close to 500, 600, depending on the price. So doing some quick number crunching and the endless supplies of maple logs from the kingdom. You could actually make money off of this method. We did a quick number crunch, and in an hour you can make about 500k doing this method if you did it constantly. Each inventory takes about 18 seconds. So yeah, it's one of those things that's low maintenance and gets some easy cash for a long period of time.
And it's grindable. You can do it while you're watching TV.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, both of us also concluded that there are much faster ways of making money. But you know, if you have 171 divination, it's not bad.
Let's also mention that method is if you buy the energy off the exchange. Now, if you collect your own energy, that's your own profit, and you can gather, say, 500 energy really, really quickly. And if you need, what was it, 3 energy per? Or how much energy per log?
I think it was two.
Okay.
Three logs, 2 energy. So if you get 500,
there's 250 right there. And if each inventory takes, how many seconds did you say?
18 seconds.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a good amount of time. You can go once an hour, stock up on 1,000 energy, and there you go.
Yeah, so, not bad. I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, we're always looking for ways to make money in this game without combat, and this is one of them, as is runecrafting now. So take it for what it's worth. Everything has its own caveat, and this one is that it's kind of slow, but at the same time, it uses resources that are plentiful, and that's maple logs.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of maple logs in RS, especially now free-to-play can get access to them and have a bankable area.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, they can just have the bows, not the logs. But
no, they can cut the logs.
Oh, right. Totally forgot about that.
The dungeoneering area where there's a deposit box there too.
Oh.
They can't make the bow, but you know. But then again, I believe magic or you is now the best bow in free to play. I know they upgraded that to require the you. Okay.
Yep. All right, so that's what we've been up to this week. Pretty much wraps us up. So we will see you next week. Remember, if you want to send audio questions in, you can do that. Just email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Just attach the file or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. See you next week, everyone.
Okay. Bye.